We're running a few minutes late, and we don't want to be that way, so we'd like to get started in the next 2 minutes. How's that? Could I ask for some housekeeping duties here? Could we have someone go out into the other room and gather up anybody who wants to come and take part in our little party here? Please listen to the man from the host committee. A side conversation should be taken outside. Thank you very much. Okay, the first thing on our agenda was breakfast and registration. Everybody's registered, and everybody have their, if they're a delegate, do you have a green card? You've got one of these things? We all need green cards. Okay. Great. I'm just following along our agenda. You've all got our agenda, I'm assuming. There's a meeting schedule, looks like this. You can probably all read that from here. So check that just to see. There are not, as far as I know, many changes. There are a couple of quick things, but before we do that, I'm seeing that our first order of business is an opening ceremony and host committee announcements. Mr. Stauffer, do you have any thing for that? I can go to... In the meantime, I'm going to skip ahead slightly. My name is Matt Leslie. I'm from the Green Party of Orange County, and I've been asked to facilitate today. So hope you like it. We have a co-facilitator, of course, Sandra Everett, who is outside, and she'll be in momentarily. She's been handling registration duty. She's doing double duty today, so she'll be here to join us in a moment.
Okay, well, welcome to the plenary. We have, let's see, for opening ceremony, we have a few brief announcements and readings and stuff. So why don't we have that first, and then we'll take care of some of the logistics. And, well, this might sound, see, my suggestion, this is Silicon Valley, so my suggestion for an opening ceremony was that we have Cameron come up and give a talk on open source software. Wouldn't that be great? Okay, well, instead we're going to have Dana and Fred talk to us a little bit.
Good morning. I was asked to find some kind of poem that would express something about the Green Party. And I chose to read this poem by Kay Ryan. Kay Ryan is the poet laureate of the United States. She's the first woman lesbian poet, poet laureate of the United States. And she lives in Marin County, where she teaches at a community college, remedial English. And so I chose this poem because of my own feelings about how fast political wisdom progresses. I was feeling very disturbed about that. The name of this poem is Turtle, and I chose it, too, because the United States was known by the Native Americans as Turtle Island. Turtle. Who would be a turtle who could help it? A barely mobile hard roll, a four-oared helmet. She can ill afford the chances she must take in rowing toward the grasses that she eats. Her track is graceless, like dragging a packing case places, and almost any slope defeats her modest hopes. Even being practical, she's often stuck up to the axle on her way to something edible. With everything optimal, she skirts the ditch which could convert her shell into a serving dish. She lives below luck level, never imagining some lottery will change her load of pottery to wings. Her only levity is patience, the sport of truly chastened things. Thank you.
Very nice.
Well, I have something that is appropriate at this time. It's a short paragraph by Howard Zinn, and I think it I think you'll appreciate it. It's called Harness the Anger. Sooner or later, profound change will come to this nation, tired of war, tired of seeing its wealth squandered, while the basic needs of families are not met. These needs are not hard to describe. Some are very practical. Some are requirements of soul. Health care, work, living wages, a sense of dignity, a feeling of being at one with our fellow human beings on this earth. Howard Zinn.
Okay, I'd like to fill you on some of the logistics here of the meeting then.
Hi there. As you guys know, the CC has become really functional and streamlined and working well and feeling good, and a lot of that had to do with the work that Larry Mullen put in for the past few years. He took on an enormous amount of work, serving on committees as well and working groups as well as chairing the CC. And when he resigned a few months back, we had to take up a lot of the slack, and we have so much appreciation for all that he's done. I don't think that he's here right now, though. So we created a plaque that we're going to send him so he can have a happy memory of all the work that he gave us and all the... he talk about keep on keeping on. He was just determined. So that's why we have that. Sure. Sure. You want to hold it so I can see it? Thanks. Green Party of California presents the Certificate of Appreciation to Larry Mullen in recognition of his work contributing to the advancement and development of the Green Party of California. Larry's contributions at both the local and state levels of the Green Party are deeply appreciated. He has shown diligence and integrity in leadership, has been a dependable volunteer on many important projects, and has earned the respect and gratitude of his colleagues in the party. Presented on this 6th day of March, 2010, for the coordinating committee. And then Barry and Adrian signed it. So.
Okay. Big props to Jim Stauffer for actually creating this. And this is an excellent thing. We'll lay it over here on the table so you folks can look at it. And I guess, Richard, you're going to take it back to President. Right. Well, you can leave it out of here all day, whatever. I another senior moment this morning. I meant to just bring a cardstock along so that all of us could sign it. So instead, I just took a sheet of paper, wrote "Thank you, Larry" on the front, and please just add sign your name, or if you've got a brief note you want to just very brief, since there's a lot of folks. And if we run out of space here, we'll add another sheet. We'll put in there. So it just so that so Larry wished that he could be here, but I guess he'd been promising his wife for a number of years that he would spend a little less time on state party politics and a little more time with her. And so that's what they're doing. And I totally support him on that. The work he did for this party was absolutely incredible. He will be continuing involvement in the Green Party, but mostly at a local level, and he's left it open that he actually may come back and be involved at a state level sometime in the future. I hope he does. So, thanks very much.
Okay, now we'll talk about some of the logistics of the room configurations and facilities here. As you've noticed already, we have two rooms, and this will be the meeting room, and that one over there is going to be the, food, the lunch room, and breakout room. Normally we need, these are the two rooms that we rented. When we go to the breakout session, our original thinking was trying to put two groups, two small groups into one of the rooms, but you know, right over here is a small conference room, and I don't think United Way would mind if we used it. So as long as there isn't anybody over there, we'll put the smallest group over there and then use these. The restrooms, if you haven't found them yet, are just in the hallways. The men's room is in the hallway going that direction, and the women's room is in this hallway going this direction. Let's see. Now, one change that we've got, a fairly significant change from what you were reading in the logistics packet, involves the candidates forum that's scheduled for 3:15 this afternoon. Normally, this was all set up where we were going to have the candidates forum right here, and then in the logistics packet, if you read it, it talks about how we had a hospitality room for after the meeting, because we have to vacate this building at 5 o'clock. So we were going to have we were going to use a hospitality room that's in downtown San Jose. It's actually the San Jose Peace and Justice Center. And then at the last minute, we changed it around and came up with what we think is a little better configuration. What we've got is a half mile down the road is the Mission City Coffee Roasting Company that has this great side room set up just for entertainment. So basically, we've reserved that thing from 3:30 to 6 o'clock. And it's a place you can have, of course, coffee and tea, and they also serve beer and wine. The state party is going to spring for a couple plates of appetizers, and it's a real comfortable, nice setting. So we're going to move the candidates forum down there, and then we're just going to use it as, you know, kind of our hospitality room and forum together. So that means at, you know, 3:15, we all sort of vacate this building, and we're going to go down half mile down the road to the coffee roasting company. There are some maps that we will have on the registration table that shows where this is. It's not hard to find. You know, it's a half a mile that way, and the big indicator, it's on that side of the street, but it's right across from this cluster of motels that you can't miss, like the St. Francis Motel and all those. So it should be easy enough to find. Parking down there is a little tight, so I suggest everybody pool as much as possible. Or if you're up for a half-mile walk after sitting all day, you can hike it down quite easily. When we leave here at 3:30, the doors will be locked, so we don't get back in here till tomorrow morning. You can leave. The whole building is secured, so if there's things you want to leave overnight, that's okay. But anything that you will need for the night, be sure and take it with you. Let's see. Beyond this forum, we really don't have a Saturday night event planned. So everybody's kind of on their own for dinner and whatever entertainment you're looking for. We do have maps with a list of restaurants on it, also out on the registration table, that you can pick up, you know, before we leave here, so you can see where you're going. And that's about it. I mean, if anybody wants to go into, you know, if anybody's looking for some nightlife, you know, we can point you down into downtown San Jose. There's some nice areas where you can hang out. The only other thing I want to remind people about is that when we're proceeding with the meeting, all presenters and people who have questions and stuff, we need you to come up and talk into this microphone, because we're also making a recording of the entire session, and the only way you will get recorded is if you talk into this microphone. So everybody remember that, please. And I think that's about it for announcements. Any questions at this point? Oh, wow. Okay, start over here. Well, if you want to pay $2 fee to ride a bus for a half a mile, Shane is pointing out that there is a bus out here you can get. Michael? The GPUS delegation dinner. Actually, Warner is the person to talk about that when he set it all up. It's a few miles. Gloria? Okay, Michael? Okay, that includes the...
Also, on the table over here, I'm going to lay out a couple of petitions that if you choose to pick one up and take one along, great. There's one trying to qualify for the ballot that the Sierra Club, the Audubon Society, the State California Parks Foundation is doing. Would establish an $18 fee on... You got some of those? Oh really? They've already got enough signatures. Okay. The more the merrier. There's some here. I do have a few more. If anyone wants to take them along, you can also get copies from the Sierra Club. This is a Lakoff initiative for the democracy thing that establishes to be able to pass a budget in California. 50% plus one. So take copies of this along if you'd like. And then there's also the one for the same-sex marriage initiative that's being, that'll all be over here. And if you've got questions, please come and talk to me. So I don't want to take up more time.
Warner Bloomberg, Santa Clara County, just in terms of announcements. Yes, the delegation is scheduled to hold its regular Saturday evening dinner meeting from 6 o'clock to 8 p.m. We're going to be meeting at the Vegetarian House, which is just past the intersection of 11th and Santa Clara Streets in downtown San Jose. General directions are take the Alameda, go that way. The Alameda becomes Santa Clara Street. We will need to... work on carpooling, and I need people who have not contacted me yet who are going to be at the dinner to let me know so I can send call the restaurant and give them a final estimate for who will be around the table. Okay, so I've been asked and agreed to do the delegates orientation. Could I see by a show of hands people for whom this is their first plenary? Welcome, 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 and thank you for being here. Okay, and I've done this before. I've tried to think about how to do it most concretely. So for your information, I'm going to organize this into two sections. One, what is the process, and two, who are the people? So the process is relatively straightforward. It's listed in detail in the GPCA bylaws. But basically, we have what is called a consensus-seeking decision-making process. And so we try to reach agreement first, and then if we can't, voting is a fallback position. We have first a presentation of a proposal. Next we have what are called clarifying questions, which means what it says. You have a question. You're not making an argument or stating a position. You're asking for information from the presenters so you can understand what is being proposed in a better fashion. And the presenters get to respond to that. Following that process, there's a check for affirmations and concerns. And again, the presenters get to respond to those affirmations are, yes, we like this very much, concerns of, I'm not so sure. After the presenters have responded to concerns, there's a check to see if there are still any outstanding concerns, sometimes referred to as unresolved concerns. And that at that point, there's three choices. One, the person or persons with the unresolved concerns can say, I have these concerns, I want them noted on the record, but I'm willing to stand aside from my concerns, given that there seems to be a large number of people who do not have them, or simply to let the process proceed, even if I have questions or criticisms of what's being suggested, I'm going to stand aside from them and let things go forward. The second thing that can happen if there are unresolved concerns with no stand-asides is the presenters can choose to withdraw their proposal at the time to bring it back at a later plenary. And the third choice the presenters have is to say, okay, we have been unable to reach consensus, we'd like to take a vote, at which point only delegates get to vote. And this is done by count or, if necessary, by roll call, depending on how tense things are and how what the need for clarity is. So that's the general consensus process. The facilitators at some point may ask for a straw poll so the facilitators can have a sense of what the delegate's sense of where they want to go on any point. And at that point, too, only delegates, by holding up your cards, participate in a straw poll. So that is the general process. If something has to go to a vote, on administrative matters, we have a two-thirds threshold for approval. On matters of policy, bylaw amendments, or questions whether it is a policy matter or not, we have an 80% threshold, and that reflects that voting is considered less preferable than reaching consensus, but it is a means of reaching decisions. Okay. So at the table, to help with the meeting, in addition to the presenter of whatever topic we're dealing with on the agenda, we have facilitators who basically are in charge of directing the meeting and discussion. We have note takers, which means when people do come up to make statements, they need to state who they are, what their county name, what county they're from is, and be brief as possible in terms of their statement, but be clear so their comments can be taken by the note taker. We are supposed to have a timekeeper because the agenda items all are time limited. If we run over, we have to extend the time by the consensus of the body, which means time has to come from somewhere else on the agenda. And we have vibes watchers. Vibes watchers generally have the responsibility of speaking up if any of us individually or collectively get out of hand. And the point is that it is the vibes watcher's responsibility to do that, not the body at large. And so it's up to the facilitators to manage the line during concerns, other parts of discussion. But it's also on us to try to be able to come up here as quickly as possible, say what we have to say, and then let the next person go, because, again, time is limited. And I think that's all I had on my mental checklist for orientation.
Happy International Women's Day.
Thank you, Warner Bloomberg, for a review on the facilitation process and the consensus-seeking process. We have on the agenda as well at this point that we need to confirm our facilitation team. If there are no, we'll do this in a short hour. Are there any questions? Are there any? Okay. Our other facilitator, as I say, is Sandra Everett, who will join me soon. So if there are no concerns, we'll consider that to be an affirmation of our facilitation team. We have had an update on our quorum. I'm told that there are currently 32 delegates registered. There are now 34. So. Thank you, Sandra. And so we're now at 34, which gives us 28. Our decision quorum is 28 delegates, so here we are. We imagine we'll probably get a few more delegates as the day rolls on. We have before us the next... Well, let me say, first of all, we're a little bit behind schedule here. It's now 9:30, and I'm at a point where it should be... Well, 9:25. Okay, we're not doing too badly. So I'd like to welcome Sandra here to the facilitation table. It looks as though we have one microphone, so we're going to have to share between facilitators and presenters and the GA. So I think it makes sense if even when people do want to say something, just imagine Green's wanting to say something into a microphone. We'll probably do this to my left here. We'll, maybe we can clear a few chairs here, and if there's a line, we can line people up here. And we'll probably end up using the podium here for that. We have not yet chosen anybody for, well, first of all, time, I'm sorry, note takers. We do have a note taker in the room. Note takers here. And we could, the name of the note taker, Kendra Gonzalez. Kendra is here. And thank you, Kendra. We're going to need a couple of other functions performed as well. Can we have a timekeeper? Is there anybody who owns a watch? Or a cell phone, or a sundial, or something? Who just really wants to be timekeeper? Okay, and who's that? Randy Hicks? Okay, Randy, if we need you to pay strict attention to the schedule, and maybe typically during a longer item, if you could just give us a halfway mark, just kind of give us a wave and say, you know, timekeeper, you're halfway through, or you have X many minutes in, left in this item. Thank you, and I'm sorry, you're completely blocked from my view by this pillar, so okay, thank you very much. And then we'll also need some vibes watchers. We need a male and a female. We've got a female and a male. We have Shane from Los Angeles and, I'm sorry, Pam from thank you very much, Shane and Pam. If any of us misbehave, Shane and Pam will let us know very gently in a nice green way. Please let them fulfill that function. The next item on our agenda is the approval of the agenda itself. Are there any questions about the agenda? Does anyone have a concern? Jim Stauffer? Oh, I apologize. Yes, there are two quick changes here on Sunday that we need to announce. At 11:20 on Sunday, in place of the 30-minute item from Green Issues Working Group, which was a support for a presidential candidate, President Peru, in fact, Green Issues has pulled that item, and they would like to utilize that time instead to talk about a registration drive. So that's one change. The other change is not much of a change, more of an update. At 1:10 that same afternoon, there is an item called pending ballot measures. There was recently a statewide poll to determine our positions on ballot measures. I'm told that poll did not reach quorum, meaning that the GA will have the opportunity to make those determinations on Sunday, so that we will, in fact, have the opportunity to come out of here with positions on these ballot measures. So we'll have a little extra work to do there. So if there are no other concerns on the agenda, I'm just going to move ahead with that and consider... I'm sorry, we have a hand up? I'm sorry, do you want to say that again or try the mic? I'm sorry, there's only one mic here, so...
Jane Rand's Orange. Might we need more time for that item since there's 5 initiatives, I believe?
Okay, there's a little confusion. Let's not get too confused. There's actually 2 items on the agenda addressing ballot measures. Matt, actually the one that refers to the county polling is this afternoon at 12:45. The one on Sunday is something is being brought forward by the Green Issues Working Group, and it concerns some ballot measures that haven't qualified yet, and they'll explain what they mean about that. But the June ballot measures, and it is only a half hour scheduled at this time because we were hoping that, you know, the county polling would work. So,
yeah, Warner, can we have an opinion on that? Do you think that's an adequate time period? So, campaigns and candidates thinks that that's enough time if we want to go with that. So it is doable, but we'll have to all be pretty streamlined, I think was the word in our operation here. So we had another, did you have a clarifying question or concern? Okay, so if... yes, thank you, David. It is pointed out that we do have the write-ups on the agenda, so if you get a chance maybe over lunch to take a look at them, we can speed up that that item. Otherwise, we may have to shave time off lunch and have you come in early, and nobody wants to do that. All right, so if there are no further concerns, it appears that we have consensus on the agenda. So we have a couple. The next item will be the approval of the previous meeting minutes. Before we do that, I just want to say to remind you of something. On Sunday at 2:55, there is an item called Schedule Next Meeting. It is something that usually gets taken care of or not at the end of the plenary, and a lot of times people are about to leave, they're traveling, they're anxious to get home, and it doesn't often get the attention it needs. There is another, we will do this all again, either in kind of late August or mid-September. Mid-September might be a good time for it. We'll see. But if you, if your county thinks they might want to host something like this, please consider it between now and tomorrow afternoon. That it would be good to leave here with some kind of a commitment and some kind of an understanding of where it might be. The exact date doesn't need to be fixed at that point. But you know, we're kind of in, you know, marginally Northern California now. It might be nice if there was something further south just to, you know, go back and forth. So please give that some consideration. We're now at the point where we want to consider approving the previous meeting minutes. Is there a presenter on that? I guess that's us, isn't it? So is there anybody? We have a hand. No. Okay, sorry. Yeah, it's been, I missed a year of plenaries for work-related duties, so. I'm a little rusty here, I'm sorry. We're at approving the meeting minutes. Are there any questions about the previous meeting minutes? Is there a hand? Got a question, yes. Okay, we have a point of process, Mr. Bornstein. Yes, actually, if there are, I know it's kind of, it's not the most complex item in the world, but if we do have questions or clarifying questions or concerns, please come to form a stack here near the podium, and we'll hand the mic over to you. So there was a question about where are the minutes. They are published, and do you have an answer for that? Can you shed light on that? They're online. Okay, so they're not available to us in this room unless you're online. So it is apparently the responsibility of the GA to take care of that ahead of time. Quorum check, I'm told that we now have 35 delegates and our decision-making quorum remains at 28. Are there any other further clarifying questions? Yes, Dave. Okay, so there is the suggestion that we can abstain from the minutes there. All right, I'm sorry. Voting from, yeah. Point of process, yes. Okay, we have a stack forming, and are there any further clarifying questions? If not, we're going to go into concerns. Okay.
Now, I do need to point out that in the agenda packet, it's specific, there's an item that says approval of previous minutes, and it gives the URL where you go and find them. So it is the responsibility of the delegates to do that, and I'm not in favor of then abstaining, so we end up with, you know, so we don't get approved minutes. And then, if they don't get approved here, we have to just try it again at the next one. And then we'll have 2 minutes to approve. So, yes, please, you know, if you didn't look at them, then at least defer to those of us who did, please.
We do count abstentions. Okay, if there are no further clarifying questions, we'll go to concerns on a stack here. Did you have a concern?
Gloria Purcell, San Mateo County. I just wanted to say the Cotati minutes I thought were well done, and I appreciated especially the detailed accounting of the different committees that I didn't attend. So, but the stand-asides were not stated, and we are supposed to, when someone has a concern but is willing to stand aside, that concern is supposed to be noted so that we know what it was, and that was not done with those minutes. So this is just kind of a reminder, please, to do that this time.
Thank you, Gloria. And do we have another concern? Or okay. Seeing no further concerns, I think we have consensus on that item. Thank you very much. Minutes approved. We're actually somehow ahead of time, but let's keep moving here. So we have the next proposal. There is it's actually a consent calendar, and typically if there are no concerns on that, we just consider those consents. We consider to have reached consensus on those. If there are concerns on any one of the items you see, if there are concerns on things, what happens is there's not a full process that goes forward on them. We simply pull the item. And the item comes back tomorrow, and during that period, we hope that anyone with a concern might meet with the people who are presenting these items, and bring that back with perhaps friendly amendments that might assuage whatever concern was expressed. If there aren't concerns, then they're just considered to be, you know, have reached consensus on these, and we just move forward. So if there are no objections to it, I mean, can we just? Do we need to go through each one? Okay, CCWG Humboldt. Do we have a concern on that? So it's a single payer bill. Sorry. Yeah. Right. It would be our position. Yeah. If we're looking. I apologize. I'm looking for it in the. Yeah. If you do have a concern, we'll pull the item. And that needs to come back tomorrow. A point of process?
Michael Bornstein, El Dorado County. If there's a concern or question on one of these consent decree items, it would be great if we knew who the presenter was. And then over lunch tonight or sometime before we bring these back tomorrow, I think the schedule says right after lunch. Oh, okay. If you could see the presenter, we could work it out.
Okay, that's great. So, and could you state your name for? Okay. Dana Silvernell is the presenter for that item. So, if anyone has a concern, please see Dana today sometime, so that can be brought back, and one hopes the concern can be met, and we can bring that back tomorrow. So that will be pulled. And the GPUS delegation bylaws, are there concerns on that item? Seeing none, we'll consider that we'll consider to reach consensus on that, and we'll move forward. Thank you. We do have an announcement. There's a password change and contacts list. The IT group would like to do that, and Mr. Stauffer.
Okay, those of you who have been around a while know that every year we change the common password that we use on the CA Greens network. That's the password that protects a lot of the internal directories, such as like the password you have to use to download the agenda packet. So every year, just for security reasons, we change that password. Those of you who know the password, it starts out with a number, and it's just that that number increases by one every year. This is on page 8 of the agenda packet. It gives all the details, what the new password is, and all that stuff. Please make sure that your county councils all get a copy of this page and that everybody knows about it. And, again, this security is not intended to be really tight security to prevent Greens from getting access. It's intended, it's low-level security just to prevent search engines and robots and stuff like that from seeing a bunch of our internal, you know, drafts and things like that. So anyway, please share this around your local. Make sure everybody knows it.
Thank you, Jim. Up next on our agenda is a report from the Green Party of the United States delegation. The delegates, just a reminder, these are delegates from California to the Green Party of the United States. And my co-facilitator, Santa Everett, is a member of that delegation and can give that report.
Okay, so I'm actually the co-chair of that delegation for way too long of a period of time. But I haven't thought a whole lot about what I was going to say today. Just to say that the main job of the National Committee is voting on various proposals that come before it from states and caucuses, and that is always accessible to you on the GPUS website. You can always see what we're voting on, and I know I've emailed out if people want to know what that URL is, come and talk to me. But some of the things we recently approved some people for the Green Party House and Senate committees and campaign committees, and those bodies both need more volunteers, and you don't have to be a member of the national delegation join those committees, and their focus is to support House candidates and Senate candidates around the country, particularly with fundraising. Almost all of the national committees, you don't have to be a member of the delegation to be a member of the committee, and I would urge people to get more involved if you have interest. Many of them are similar to some of our committees. I mean, but there is one that deals with ecology that we actually have a couple of members on, and we have a peace action committee and a finance committee, and there's many different bylaws and platform and all that type of thing that you would expect. So we do need more California members on those committees, so I would urge you to get involved if you'd like to find out more what your brothers and sisters are doing around the country. It's very interesting because the situation with different states is very different than ours. I mean, we've had the luxury of being on the ballot since 1992, and there's only about 16 states, I think, that have continual ballot access. Many states have to gather signatures, and some of them states, I just helped in Arizona, they needed 24,000 signatures every 2 years, not from Greens, but from anybody on the state that felt that they needed, should have the opportunity to run candidates. In other states, the numbers are so huge that they don't even try, like in Oklahoma, Texas, Georgia, those kinds of states, the southern states. There's definitely a lot of laws around the country, and, you know, the ballot access news is a good resource to know about things like that. The most exciting thing, though, I would like to share with you is about our annual national meeting that we expect to have this year. And if you've ever thought about going to an annual national meeting, this is definitely the year to do it, because our meeting is being done along with the U.S. Social Forum. So the U.S. Social Forum is going to attract about 20,000 activists from around the country and around the world. And if you register for the Green Party annual meeting, it also pays your registration for the U.S. Social Forum. And the Social Forum will start about, I think, about 3 or 4 days before our annual national meeting starts. And then we'll have meetings together with them, workshops and conferences together with them for 2 days. And then we'll have some of our own plus our own meeting, which is very much a meeting like this, but with states, all the accredited states, so which I think are at about 38 accredited states right now. So, and if you come, you're welcome to come to that meeting as an observer, but you also can continue going to U.S. Social Forum activities. So it'll be a wonderful opportunity for Green Party folks to interface with other activists around the country and ask them why they're still progressive Democrats. You know, though some of them are also socialists, too. I mean, it's always interesting to me when I talk to somebody that's even more left than I am. But anyway, so it's a great opportunity. It's really interesting working with the National Committee. There's very different perspectives. I mean, they think all of us in California are rich. So on our delegation, so there's just going to be a reapportionment number. We're voting on numbers, and right now our delegation, we're allocated 42 members. We have about 35, and our allocation will probably change and go down a little bit, and we thought it was going to go down to 35, but it may not go down that low. We don't have quite enough delegates. If you want to be involved with that, you can. You won't have another opportunity until the next plenary to be elected, but applications go in 2 months before the plenary. So talk to, there's about, well, the people who are on the delegation, I think there's about 8 of us in the room right now. Raise your hand. So if you have questions about what it's like to be on the GPUS delegation, come talk to one of us. And does anyone from the delegation want to add anything to what I said? Warner. Right now it's 40. We're allocated 42, but I think we have 35. But we also have alternates. We have about 18 alternates at the moment.
Yeah, the U.S. Social Forum, I don't remember seeing them mention it. It's going to be in Detroit. It's going to be the last week of June. In your agenda packets, there is a page that has a description posing the question whether or not California should host the 2012 annual GPUS meeting, which would include the presidential nominating convention. On that page is a form which I have asked people to complete and fill out and get back to me by the end of the plenary. If you don't get to it and want to send it to me electronically next week, that's okay. But what we're trying to do is essentially do a vibes assessment as to whether this is something people and activists in California would like to do, think is a good idea, think is a bad idea. This is like a straw poll or a survey. It has no binding effect, but we're trying to use a process where it's not just a few people making a decision that then has to get forced on a decision-making body. So I would really ask people to treat that seriously, and either in the paper form or electronic form, make the responses, get them back to me, and then we can discuss that in the delegation. Thank you.
And I might also mention that, well, first of all, we're clear on what Warner's saying, that not any one county would be able to host it. Obviously, it's a big job just to host the state meeting, so we feel like it'll probably be a region of the state. In my mind, it's most likely the Bay Area, but it would require a lot of people, you know, from a lot of different locals to want to participate in that. Also, before I left home this morning, because I figured we probably wouldn't have Wi-Fi here, which we don't, I downloaded the webpage for the U.S. Social Forum and also our voting pages and stuff like that. So if you want to see what any of that looks like, I've got it on my laptop and you can come see it. Peggy?
Hi, good morning. Peggy Coat, Team San Francisco County. Also, we're working on the GPUS platform. So if some of you have expertise maybe in healthcare or water issues or global warming or different, you know, or editing skills, okay. Marnie, who, I don't know if she's going to come or not. Okay, but you can talk to one of us and ask how to get in touch with a person, one of the people who's working directly with a platform committee.
Oh, okay.
And?
It's a,
so this is the GPUS platform, and it wasn't revised in 2008 because at that time our bylaws required an all or nothing vote, and there was like one concern about one session section, so it got voted down. So now we're working on, we've changed our bylaws. We're also going to do revisions every 2 years instead of just at the nominating convention. So, and Marnie, partially because I guess she's an attorney, she wants it to be much better worded, and she's taken on a huge piece of wanting to see a lot of it revised to make it more clear communication, but also we have stuff in it that, you know, issues that haven't existed for, you know, 10 years and stuff. So we're doing a lot of work on it. If you want to participate in that process, you'd be welcome to join us in that. Anything else? Okay, I guess we can move on. Yes, sir. Okay, the procedure right now is different states can submit the proposals. Our deadline for submitting the platform is on April 15th. So right now it's being worked on by different states. Once it gets submitted to the platform committee then has the job of trying to integrate it. Like California might do a new proposal on peace, and Georgia could do a new proposal on peace. So they're going to be integrating things. It'll be presented at the national meeting, and then it'll be discussed and voted on after the national meeting. At that point, when it's being discussed and voted on, it'll be on this web page that I was talking about, that I can let people know where it is. But right now, I know we just set up a wiki, but I don't know if there's any way. Oh, right. Okay, so talk to one of us later about how you could go about doing that. Anybody else? Okay. Where do we?
Thank you, Sandra. Now we're way ahead of time. So we're at 9:55, and yeah, the elections are coming up. That will be the next item, and so we do have elections to that delegation. I believe we have a candidate Q&A section. What I should do at this point is ask who is presenting that item. Who's our, that's Sanda, okay? So, Sanda's here to present that item.
Okay. So, in your delegate packet, and then again, on a reminder email, that went out to your county contacts list, was a discussion about the delegate election. It is a ranked choice vote. Your candidates, they're listed. It's on the web. So, again, you know, like if you didn't look ahead of time at the plenary packets, you won't have it. I'm not clear whether the agenda committee has are we actually doing the voting this morning as well, or are we just having any questions? Are we doing it? It has to be on Saturday, so maybe you can look at that. Well, so most of the candidates that are running are people that are currently on the delegation and are running for re-election. We do have one new person, though he's not here today. So I guess I should have found out whether or not they made the ballots for us. I thought they did. If not, we'll just make them up on little pieces of paper. Two of the candidates have withdrawn. One delegate candidate and one alternate candidate has withdrawn from the election. In using ranked choice voting, you do vote for everybody that you feel would be a good candidate. But you don't have to vote for everybody. So if there's six candidates and you think one of them is really a bad choice, you rank 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then no other candidate, and no, none of the above, no other candidate. No, NOC. Okay. let's see. You have all the stuff. Was that written up? Written up. Okay. All right. So let me look. I mean, I have it on mine. I just have it on the computer. I don't print anything. So I said all that. Yeah, NOC. I guess that's all of it. I guess I need to check with our agenda team to find out about the ballot. So I guess we're doing it now? We're doing the election now, too? Oh, yeah, questions. And yes, so go ahead, Greg. Yeah, that's true, but also at the Sonoma convention, we were also finding, well, with that procedure, we also sometimes had the inverse happen, that everybody would rank everybody, and because our threshold is so low because there's less candidates than seats, people were also being elected that people felt shouldn't be elected. So at the last plenary, Jim Stauffer offered a different bylaw amendment that changed that number, basing the number on the number of candidates rather than on the number of seats. But also, people were given the opportunity to speak out about the different candidates. And I don't know whether we should go over them or, is there people who haven't, I guess there are probably people who haven't looked at the plenary packet to see who the candidates are. They're on the website. Yeah, they're not all here. But let me look at my list that I have here. No, it said in the county context, we haven't had speeches from the candidates that are here for about the last four plenaries. Actually more than that, ever since we went up to a larger delegation. But the people who are here, I see at least one of them. You're not running this time, Sue? Yeah, Susan. So if anyone who's running for re-election right now could stand up, I'm looking at my delegate list. And I could say who the people are, too, who are running for re-election. So Susan Chunko, you want to just wave your hand, and Greg Jan, Jared Lady from Sacramento, who's not here today. Jack Lindblad from Los Angeles County, who's not here today, and Craig Thorson from Los Angeles County, who's not here today. For alternate, Jan Arnold, who is here. And let me see. I'm not sure which of these people are running again. I think Jim Weil is running again from Los Angeles. And Bernie McDonald from Mendocino. No, Bernie is not up yet. And then a new person. I didn't go to that part of the page. I didn't download that part of the page. I could look to see if I have it on my county contacts email. The bios that are online. Oh, that's true. I could have done it from my phone. Okay, John dropped out. So the only alternate candidates are Jan Arnold and Mike Chomnis from Los Angeles, who I don't know. Yes, sir. He's moved back. He's been bouncing. He really didn't move out of Los Angeles. He was more traveling. He was on the road a lot, and I know he was visiting with you guys in Riverside for a while, but he's got a new address in Los Angeles, and my understanding is he's back in Los Angeles County. Well, he can be elected no matter which, as long as he's in California, he can be elected. So, but that, I know Jared Lady for a long time, we had him still down in Sonoma County when he had moved to Sacramento County, and we didn't know that, but that part doesn't matter. But thanks. Good point. Any other questions? Okay, so I'll probably find out, I'll have to go find out about whether we have ballots. If not, we'll make them up. And there, I know there was somebody who volunteered to run the election, but I'll find out from our... Oh, who was it? Yeah. Okay, we'll find out about that. Okay, I don't know if I remember seeing a volunteer for that online, but I don't remember. Oh, June. You'll do it now. Okay, but I've got to find out whether the committee has a ballot. So we're way ahead of schedule here. Yeah, but I don't know if you want to start talking about this. Yeah, I have something I need to talk about.
Do we have any indication if anyone has ballots for us? Is there any? Do we know who the elections committee is for this item? We don't. There is one. Okay, so we need to come up with some ballots. Okay. So we'll do that. Does everybody have a small piece of paper they can use for a ballot? No? Okay. We're gonna do some makeshift ballots here, okay? If there's anyone who needs a piece of paper, could they please raise their hand? Okay, and if somebody has an extra piece of paper, maybe take that over to them. Yeah, this is going to be a DIY ballot. I'm seeing a point of process and a couple of hands in the back here. Okay. Warner, did you have a point of process? Okay, we have a reminder from Mr. Bloomberg that only delegates can vote on this item. If you are not a delegate, you cannot vote on this item. We have another hand up in the back, Mr. Rubin. Yes, we're going to list the candidates up front here so you'll know who they are. We'll make sure everybody knows that. And Jerry Grass, I think you had your hand up? Just checking for, okay. Yeah, we're going to need a, I'm sorry, Sandra, we'll need that larger. Can we use the whiteboard behind us, maybe? Yeah, whiteboard bigger. Okay. Like this big, maybe, like that. Okay, we're going to get those written really large for you. In the meantime, is there anybody out there who does not have a piece of paper to use for a ballot? So we're all good? Okay.
I'll make a mock ballot up here, what it would look like.
Okay, Santa's going to write it out as a mock ballot. Everybody just copy down what she's writing on the board on your own DIY ballot here, and then you'll rank the candidates according to your preference. And for the instructions on that, I would refer you to page 9 of your plenary packet. The bottom of page 9 where it says voting process, and I'll just read that off since we're writing here. For people you support, for all candidates of whom you approve for the delegation, rank those candidates in order of your preference, starting with 1 for your first choice. Continue ranking for all candidates of whom you approve. So the example we like to use in OC is, you know, you have Mo, Larry, Curly, and Shemp. And Curly Joe, and they're all running, okay? So if you think Mo, Larry, and Curly are fine, but you're really not so sure about Shemp, say you really like Mo, Larry, and Curly, so Mo gets number 1, Larry gets number 2, and Curly gets number 3, and then you get down to Shemp, and you think, well, you know, Shemp's not as funny as Curly, and I really would like not to have Shemp involved in these Three Stooges cartoons or shorts. So I'm just going to write no other candidate next to Shemp, and then Shemp doesn't get your vote, basically. So that would be the way you might want to approach that. What I'm trying to get to is if you really don't want Shemp on the ballot, don't write 4 next to his name. You just say it's Mo, Larry, Curly, and that's it. Okay, and I apologize, those are all men, so it's not exactly appropriate for International Women's Day. But there are no female Three Stooges fans, I'm told, so we'll not. Okay. Oh, not true. Okay, I have a question from Barry Hermanson. There is no way to sort of equitably rank them all. Say, if you like all of them equally, there isn't really a way to facilitate that. You need to really rank them according to your first choice, second choice.
No,
you still have to follow the bylaws. Okay, we have June's going to be acting as our elections committee, and she would like to say something.
June Bershire, Sonoma County. Since I'm going to be counting, I'm actually going to add as one of the candidates NOC, so you wouldn't actually write NOC by Shemp. You would write number 4 at NOC, and then Shemp could be 5, but NOC would block him out. So you basically stop ranking. So you might, if you didn't like any of these people, your first vote could be 1, no other candidate. If you like a few of them, pick the one you like the best, the next one you like the best, the order you like them. And if you like them all, then NOC would get, you know, number 10 or whatever after you've ranked everybody else, or you don't even have to rank NOC, but just... That's how I will be counting them. So give the number to NOC before some other candidate that you like.
Thank you. And before I call on those two folks, which technically are supposed to come up here, if anyone wants to speak, like, for any reason why they feel like one of these candidates shouldn't get elected or speak on behalf of any of these candidates, you can come up and do that, too. So... Not yet. Excuse me, there's a procedure. Please wait. Yes. The alternates are a separate election in this case. Yes.
I just want to remind all the voters that Jack Lindblad has been the center of a controversy in L.A. County relative to whether he supported Republican candidates over Green candidates in L.A. and especially in the Valley area. So please take that into account.
Yep. What can I say about Jared? Jared's worked very hard for our community, and he's also gone out and done fundraiser, and he's done other activities. And he's working on a lot of campaigns and candidates' campaigns, and he's been part of that. And he's represented Sacramento County very, very well. We're very happy with the work he does. We're very happy on all the issues that he's worked on. He's very progressive, and he would be a very good choice. So we in Sacramento County, and we hope all of you, support Jared Lotti. Thank you.
Thank you. Peggy Coat, Team San Luis County. When we hand these in, we show our delegate card, and who are we doing that to? So you're going to check it off. Okay. And I'm not sure about what Shane said about Jack Lindblad, but he's run for assembly the last couple elections. He's running again, and seems to be a pretty clear green to me.
I hesitate to say anything. He's just... Anyway, I don't feel like I should say anything. As concerns and affirmations, please. Anyone else?
Concerns and affirmations? Yes.
All right.
I don't think so. No. Yeah. Right. Yeah, and we do have secret ballots there in this. It's really interesting to me when I realize in the national we argue very much for not secret ballots, but it's kind of an interesting process. Anyone else? Okay. Okay.
I just want to say I've always been really impressed with the work Greg's done. I think he'd be really...
In this case, I think... We don't really need to hear affirmations because it's more like people that don't know people, if we have concerns, people need to know that we have concerns about some people. So that's what I think we need for, to hear from more. Otherwise, you know, like, we know people are wonderful. Okay, so when you turn in your ballot, you're going to turn in your ballot with your delegation card to, and she went outside? She's collecting ballots outside. So you can do that. Okay. As soon as you turn your ballot, make sure you come rapidly back to your seat because we are going on the next agenda item, which is the ever-popular budget. Sure.
Everyone, while you're voting, for those of you who have made some decisions or comments on the platform planks, please fill out the form on page 19 of the plenary packet and give them to me at lunchtime. Thank you.
We have 2 minutes left on this item, so if you have not yet cast a ballot, please do so quickly. Time is catching up with us, and we do have the budget coming up. So again, if you have a completed ballot, please go to the doorway to my right. Take your ballot, your delegate card with you. They will need to see that and write down your delegate number to ensure the integrity of the vote. One minute on this item, folks, so if you're still working on your ballots, please expedite that process. In the meantime, could I have whoever is presenting on the budget please approach the facilitation table so we can be ready to move on the next item? Who's our presenter on the budget item? We are at time on the last item, and we'd like to move forward with the presentation of the budget item, the next item on your agenda. We do have our presenters in place, so if I could get delegates to take their seats and move any side conversations outside at this time. And if I could, it looks like we've lost a few people in the room. Could I ask for somebody to go out into the hall and gather up, thank you, Mr. Timekeeper, gather up any delegates who may have strayed.
Don't worry about it. It's something.
Okay, our presentation team is in place for the budget. If we could get everybody seated at this time, please, or else I'm going to start singing. You don't want to hear that, trust me. So, it'd be something from the banana split, so you're not going to want to hear this at all. Okay, we have members of our budget team with us. We have our treasurer, Gene Rosenmeyer, and we have Barry Hermanson, who served as a member of the budget committee as well. The budget is an ad hoc committee that's put together each year to present the budget, and it includes members from various committees throughout our state structure. So I'm just going to hand the mic over to Jeannie and let her take it from there.
Thank you. Yes, my name is Jean Rosenmeyer. I'm the treasurer of the Green Party of California. I'm an ex officio member of the Budget Committee. The other members, other than Barry, are Will Yeager, Dave Wilbur, Michael Borenstein. That's it. Okay. So let me just say a word or two about the budget. It's painful. Our income has gone down quite a bit over the last couple of years. Barry's going to talk a little bit, I think, about some methods we're trying to build up our coffers again. But anyway, so I'm very sorry that we had to cut a lot of people's items because we just don't have the money. There is an item here in the income. It's called Proposed Fundraising Income to Offset Larger Deficit, $6,441. This is, we just didn't want to cut the budget any farther. We would have had that amount of deficit based on current fundraising projections. And bless his heart, Barry said, we know we can raise more money than that, and he has pledged himself to take charge of that extra effort to raise enough money to really keep the party at a minimum sort of a level here. Okay. I'm going to turn it over to Barry. He's got a couple words.
Yes, it was very painful going through this. All of our committees submitted very excellent requests for funding, and we unfortunately could not provide funding, at least in this budget, for that. So we had to make some very painful cuts. Now, you'll notice what are we at, $28,000, I think, for the entire budget for the year, thereabouts. That's running a state party. Oh, my God. That's embarrassing. And so we were faced with this thing of even having a larger potential deficit budget that was being proposed, and folks really didn't want to go there. And I was really tired of talking about trying to cut even more. Literally we were cutting into the bone rather than just the flesh. And this was just inappropriate. We can't run this. And so I'm trying to do a fundraising effort in San Francisco, trying to identify greens, because right now, currently, at a state level, we send out a few fundraising letters a year, and we're actually starting to get some larger responses from those fundraising letters because we're including some very easy things for people to do. Now, all of you have seen my U.S. budget priorities postcard. That has gone out with a couple of mailings. I also included a mailing that went out in December, I think. This is a postcard you'll see over here on the side table here. It's from Don Beckler's organization, Single Payer Now. Don is a fabulous Green Party organizer. We have a very large organization supporting SB 810 and HR 676, Single Payer Universal Healthcare. Very simple things for people to sign a card and mail stuff in. We got a tremendous response from that. And I understand, actually, even from the last state mailing, there were out of, what, about 1,600 pieces that went out, Don received about 90 of these. So we got 90 additions to his list of single-payer advocates, which is just fabulous. And we also received, as a result of that, we received a higher number of people who actually donated money to the party, which is wonderful. So I'm trying to do the same thing at the local level in San Francisco. I'm mailing to folks that did vote this last year. And so I know that they're there, and we're starting to get a response back from those folks. These are new people that we're adding to our donor list. I'm very excited by that. So during the course of this year, I'm going to mail to all of probably 3,000 or 4,000 people in San Francisco who are not on our GPCA fundraising list. We need new donors. We keep sending mail as a state party to the same people over and over and over again. Gradually, that list gets smaller. So I would encourage all of you and your counties to be considering, how can you be reaching out to people that you know are there as Greens, and to be asking folks, contribute a little bit to the party. Ask for something simple that they can do. If you need some of these cards to send out to folks, let me know. I'll get them to you. It's a very simple thing, by the way. For those who are not familiar with it, it's a postcard. This one's addressed to President Obama. I also have ones that are addressed to, say, Dear Representative or Dear Senator. Our individual representatives in Congress need to hear from us that this is not our priority to spend. The red part is what we spend on military. The green part is on everything else in the U.S. discretionary budget. That my next mailing that's going to go out, I'm going to include a couple of voter registration forms. We're going to spend some time later in the plenary talking about our voter registration effort. This will be separate. I firmly believe that it's one of the most difficult choices people make in their lives is to change political parties. Not something that you do lightly. And it's wonderful that we're going to have an effort where people are going to set up tables and try to get out and do this. But I want to ask people who are Green, they vote, you know, hopefully they're proud of being Green, to ask a family member, to ask a friend or a coworker. Here, I've got a registration form. Would you register as Green? I bet we could pick up a lot of people if all of us did that in our communities. So I'm going to send a couple in every mailing. Again, asking people to do something simple. And the initial response from that kind of effort has been excellent. We're starting to see more dollars to come in. So I'm very hopeful, even though that I've personally made a guarantee that if we don't raise this extra money, I'm going to write a check at the end of the year. I hope not to have to do that. I really hope not to have to do that. I believe that we can raise this money. $6,000, I mean, any of you who've run a political campaign, $6,400 is chump change. That's you getting people to donate $50 or $100 or whatever, we should be able to do that across our party. I see you have a question here. Yes, sir. The question was, is there any way for people to make donations on the web? Absolutely there is. The GPCA website does have a link to do that. GPUS has a way to do that as well, if you are so inclined. So.
Or if you would like to become one of our sustainers, our sustainer list has been shrinking over time, and we need to pick that up, and the people who are here are, you know, our activists are our natural sustainers. And if you want to, you can give me your credit card number and be billed a certain amount, either quarterly or monthly. And this is really the backbone of our fundraising effort. then we also send mailings. And I just wanted to add one more thing to what Barry said. I think one of the things that we need to do, and that was successful in the most recent mailing, is to let people know that the Green Party is not only are we out there as a party fielding candidates, but if you look at the activists in our communities, an awful lot of the leaders are Greens. And one thing you could do to help us, I mean, what we did in the last thing is we sent out the postcard for the single payer group in centered in San Francisco. It would be great to, you know, have something where we showcase Greens who are active in issues that Greens care about, so that, I mean, we'd like to show people that we're out there doing things. Anyway, so if you have a suggestion, we would like to hear it, because that would be a great thing to do as a routine in our mailing.
So just a process thing here. As we move along during the year, if we are successful in our fundraising efforts and we're bringing in more than we have actually put in this bare-bones budget, we will be restoring funds to the committees that have asked and where we have made the cuts. And so the Finance Committee will act on that. The CC will, you know, ultimately take a vote, you know, between plenaries. And obviously, if we need to, we can come back and make a formal decision at the next plenary regarding budget restoration items. So hopefully we can happily have that discussion in September or whenever we do have the next plenary. With that, I should open it up to if there are any questions regarding the... Oh, yes. Great. So, Sanda will have a word about the GPUS budget, and then we'll open it up to questions regarding the budget here.
Okay. So, for those of you who don't know, not only am I the co-chair of the California delegation, but I'm one of seven co-chairs of the Green Party of the United States, and I'm the co-chair that sits on the Finance Committee, much to my displeasure. But the budget of GPCA is very linked to the budget of GPUS, because one of the ways that there is an interconnection is that the GPUS does fundraising that they call national-driven state sharing, which means they're sending out letters or requests for funds, but people have the ability to check off whether it's in the letter or on the email donate page that they want a percentage of their money going to their state. That percentage of the money was changed about 3 years ago to 40%. So if GPUS does a fundraising, if you get a phone call from somebody and you say, yeah, I want to give to GPUS, 60% goes to GPUS and 40% is supposed to go to GPCA. So I say supposed to because... I think primarily, this is my opinion, is a result of the 2008 presidential convention, which, before I got on the steering committee, which has a lot of real, they made decisions that were the best decisions they could make at the time, but we came out of that with a very large deficit, I think about $50,000 in the hole. So in fundraising, we finally paid off that deficit in the fall. And then in our budget for this year, you know, like there was a lot of concern. Some people at GPUS actually wanted us to cut all of our staff. Some people just thought, well, we'll just say we're going to raise $300,000. You know, like they really wanted to go the opposite that way. The Finance Committee and then the Steering Committee made the decision to cut staff. We went from three staff people to two staff people in our Washington, D.C. office, and that we would slightly increase fundraising. We have, so cutting that staff saved us $5,000 a month, and our first fundraising letter has been pretty successful, and we just got a $20,000 donation from one person, so we have significantly cut our debt. Now, I bring that up because part of our debt is money that we owed caucuses, we owed committees, and we owed states. So GPUS owes California for the fundraising that they did, but partially on our behalf, $2,400 for 2008 and $2,100 for 2009, which they have not yet been able to pay. We're hoping to be able, we've now paid off almost all of our external debt, and we're hoping to be able to pay off our internal debt by the end of the year. But two things have happened. One, at the Finance Committee has gone around to states and asked certain states if they would forgive the amounts that they owed. I really didn't even want to ask that for California, but I feel like as a sustainer to GPUS, I checked off that I wanted a percentage of my money going back to the state. So honoring the intent of our donors, I didn't know that I felt that that was appropriate to ask for that money to be given back to California. But they're hoping to be able to pay it, and I'm going to make a comment later about the GPCA delegation. But right now in the budget, they're showing zero income from GPUS, and I'm trying to encourage us to recognize in the budget that they can count on some money coming from GPUS. Finish my thing. Okay. So the main expense of the delegation is we do have this annual national meeting, and we'd like people to be able to attend an annual national meeting, and very often many people go and are gladly willing to pay their own way to go. I mean, people like Jan and Mike are usually go to national meetings, and they're willing to pay their own way. But there are other people who cannot afford to pay their own way, and where you don't feel like it should be based on your financial resources whether you go or not. So when the delegation, thanks to Warner, submitted a budget, we asked for $3,500 for funds for the annual for the delegation to be able to attend the annual national meeting, because and in the budget they cut us down to $1,000, and we're talking about the potential of maybe 20 people going. So you can see how far $1,000 would go for 20 people. Only even if only five of them need funding, it's not enough. So what but they're also saying zero coming from GPUS. So what I'm suggesting is, and I know the budget's low, and we've it's very slim for a lot of people. So I'm suggesting that we tie the two. That if the money comes back from GPUS to GPCA, that money could then be used to fund the delegates to go to the annual national meeting. So I'm going to request that amendment to the budget.
Okay, I guess we'll take clarifying questions.
Yeah, you probably should. Yeah, come on up so it can be recorded.
Shane Cuhee, L.A. County. Are you going to try to do the payment of registration fees from GPCA like you did before?
There's an additional to the $1,000 is money for pre-registration, but of that, that's actually a loan to the GPCA. 25% of it we don't have to pay back because that's for our low-income people. The rest of it people are supposed to come back. So that is really sort of a cash-neutral part of the budget, except for, I would like it to be more than 25%, if we get the money from GPUS. And what I may ask them is if there's any way that they can actually discredit some of our registrations, but, that's just taken from one pocket to put in another pocket. I don't know if that'll work.
Jane Rands, Orange County. I have two questions. One is regarding Green Focus and Platform Summary, both of which are materials that I know we depend upon. I've been depending on the platform summaries in my campaign as I've been running. And the Green Focus we always provide on all our tabling opportunities and our general meetings every month. Besides, we distribute them in little restaurants around town and such. So I see that there's a cut, and what I wanted to know was if we could sort of have an understanding of why the cost isn't offset by the income from when we purchased those, and if we could get, so I just wanted a kind of an accounting of that balance, or maybe an explanation as to why why that doesn't balance out the cost to print them and the money that comes in from people purchasing them. And then the other thing was sort of along the same lines on the GROW line item for county state fundraising. There's the $2,000 budget item, and then I believe that matches up with the income under donations, prospect mailing is another $2,000, and it looks like it's a expected one-for-one return. In other words, we're going to spend $2,000 and expect $2,000 to come in. And I was wondering if maybe if we could have an explanation of why we would do something that wouldn't grow our income.
Okay. Second question first. The prospect mailing is to, this is what Barry was talking about, to registered Greens, and a lot of times those just break even, but then we have more names on our mailing list, and the next time, then we mail to them and we make money. We mail to the people who have given us money before, and that's how we grow our fundraising list. Green Focus. You know what? The Green Focus sales have never even come close to paying for Green Focus, so I guess it just gets given away more than it gets sold, and that's why Michael is going to...
Michael Bornstein, El Dorado County. I want to thank Chris and fundraising for, and Barry and a few new people on that committee for really trying to amp and answer some of these questions. But the question about Green Focus, clearinghouse sales, and the platform summaries is we are doing our best to recoup, do some, it's really hard to do it in a green way, bill collecting. But actually hounding folks to return their money, and then we're working with finance as best as we can to have that money put back into that line item, which is an accounting feat that Gene's doing very well. What would help there, if anybody wants to volunteer to help with clearinghouse, platform sales, or Green Focus production and collection, there's very few of us doing that work. So we are trying to put that money back in. And yes, we failed for a couple years in a row getting any money back in. But now we're at least getting what we're hoping is going to be most of it back in. If that answers the question was asked.
Michael Rubin, Alameda County. My question revolves around the state funds. I mean, my attitude towards the amendments to the budget and the budget in general is I'm looking for an answer to the question of when, let me rephrase that, how good a chance that the state funding will come back from the national organization. And so, you know, heretofore, it's not been very good. And I understand that the national organization has its own financial problems, but it seems to me that barring a really firm, unequivocal answer to the question of yes, we will get that money back, you know, we'll condition how I vote on adding money to the budget. So I'm asking for the likelihood of that.
The quick answer is, if we don't have a solid assurance that we're going to get it, we won't be adding to the GPUS thing. It's conditional. It's absolutely conditional. Does that answer your concern? Yeah. Well, it's...
It won't go in the budget unless we get it.
Right. In other words, I'm saying, you know, like I'm asking for that additional $2,500, but only if that $2,500 comes from the national to fund it.
I'm Dana Silvernail from Humboldt County. I don't know that I can explain this very well because it's secondhand, but when I took the workshop with Brent McMillan at the national meeting in 2010, this last one, We're ten now. Last year, I stayed up too late last night. He said that the initial fundraising effort usually loses money initially, but then it grows from there. It's kind of like seed money. You know, you plant the seeds, and then the plants grow, and the plants make more seeds. And so that it should break even at the, for, you know, with the fundraising letters is actually good, because usually it loses money in the first efforts, but it pays off over time in donations like $20,000. And Brent McMillan is the stellar fundraiser in the party. So I just wanted to throw that out and give you all a little faith in the process.
So, Tian Harder, Santa Clara County Observer. But it seems to me that, like, we have a contested primary for governor, and that would be a golden opportunity to send people a mailing informing them that they have a choice on their ballots in June. And I'm just hoping you guys will do a mailing around that. So I just wanted to put that out there.
As a member of the fundraising committee, that's duly noted. Thank you.
I was wondering about the revenue sharing for the GPUS, how that number has come about, and I know this, do you think we're sort of getting our fair share of representation and all that stuff?
David, I think we just covered that. I'll talk to you a little bit later, okay?
Chris Bellucci, Sacramento County. I just wanted to say that that this is a great budget, but I tend to be more optimistic, and I know that Ginny doesn't like to be, for good reason. But we are actually on track, and we've been trying to, thanks to Barry, Ginny, and some new people on finance, we're on track to do more mailings this year. We should be doing around 5 or 6. That would bring in enough, more than enough, so that Barry wouldn't have to write a personal check. But we actually are on track for the first time in about 2 or 3 years to raise. I'm not going to give a number, but it'll be hopefully substantially more than what you see here in the budget. So I just want to pass on some good news from a fundraising appeal writer that hopefully we'll be able to do that.
AJ Delaringa, Sacramento County. I think we need to target progressive Dems, especially young students. Right now, college costs are increasing, and we have a chance to steal legislative districts. And I'm telling you, steal legislative districts. We're talking San Francisco, Humboldt, the Green Triangle. There are legislative ballots on the initiative. Hemp legalization, marijuana legalization. We need to target these people with our campaigns.
Wait, did you have a concern regarding the budget?
No.
Okay, that's all right. Thank you.
Okay, I don't know whether this is the right piece of it, but I'm just wondering, and I want Chris to hear this. I know at the national level, that was one of our big debates actually last year, was the expense for our newspaper. And what I'm thinking I heard Michael say is that people got papers, but they didn't pay for them, which is something that happened at the national level, too. We sent out bundles, and states didn't pay for them. But at the national level, we've moved to only having one hard issue a year and 3 as PDF files on the Internet and also sort of like as a blog on the Internet. And I'm wondering whether we've considered doing Green Focus, but doing it on the Internet so that people can download it and print it so that they can use it for their own tabling efforts and stuff like that, but whether we consider doing something like that, since most publications these days are moving to the Internet.
Yeah. To comment directly, I think that the online thing is great. Now, from a technical standpoint, Green Focus is a tab, so you really can't print that out on your own computer. We could change the format, so we could do what National is doing. But I will say that Green Focus is probably our only state flyer or brochure. I mean, it really is. It's a great PR tool for us. So it's a little, that's why it's difficult to harass people too much to pay us that really owe us. So it's kind of a combination. If we can get some money for it, it'd be great. But we do realize, at least I realize, that most counties use this as a flyer or brochure for the party.
Another concern? Yes.
Questions.
Michael Bornstein, El Dorado County. In reference to budget, one thing slightly off topic, while everybody's in the room and paying attention, sometime during the weekend, if you could see me and give me your opinion on bookmarks and a new bumper sticker, all of which are going to be budgeted items. And I just need your opinion because we're going to be doing printing, which you're going to pay for right now in this session. But going back on topic,
bicycle sticker.
We'll figure it out. But right now, going back on topic, facilitators, if you'll bear with me, I have a clarifying question, a concern, and a friendly amendment all wrapped up into a couple sentences. My clarifying question is really how badly do we want to grow this party? You've heard a bunch of talk about fundraising. Unless you have green registrants in those databases in your individual counties that we procure when we do our mailing, our campaigns, that we don't have the names, emails, phone numbers, and addresses for these people to mail solicitations to. I was a member of the budget committee. This time, and it was awful to go from when we used to have $170,000 to spend a few years ago with some other candidates nationally to having to cope with going to $28,000 and really taking most of the good projects we wanted to do and flushing them, if you will. My clarifying question is, my concern is that Well, my clarifying question then, and I'll come back with it, is as a co-coordinator of GROW and a member of the budget committee, when we came to $1,000 for voter registration, because we're trying to balance the budget, I said, great, we'll cut that, because no one's been interested in registering voters, which is a very poor decision that I made on the budget committee. We did keep $2,000 in GROW for a county solicitation mailing, which is, if you'll contact GROW or myself, we can actually pay your county to get registrants, build the list, and have folks to mail to, and hopefully we'll get donations and, most important, sustainers. But what I'm asking for, as a friendly amendment, is to put $1,000 back into the GROW budget. Tim Smith has come up with a wonderful voter registration project having to do with incentives, both from the clearinghouse as a credit, which the CC or finance is going to have to deal with is how to finance that, and to pay individuals in the counties for the amount of registrations that they acquire, and actually giving cash prizes for that. And we'd like to see at least $1,000 put back in the GROW budget. If it's contingent on... It's also going to be a presentation tomorrow, but right now we're at budget, so if it has to be a Tier 2 type of situation, in other words, if Chris and myself and Barry do the fundraising and the money's there, then the CC can authorize that money being spent on this project. And if you'd like to know more about the project, Tim and I would be glad to rope you in.
I understand that this is being calendared, this whole discussion is being calendared for tomorrow. I think it's difficult to make a request for a budget item right now before that presentation is made in terms of the project. And I would propose that we actually try to approve this now. And obviously, based upon your presentation tomorrow, if there is a request to actually modify this, we can come back to that question whether or not we're going to actually, as a party, try to put more money into this effort.
But it's without having all the details of the effort, I don't think it's fair to take up time at this point. I'm trying to explain your project before you explain your project tomorrow. Does that sound reasonable? Tomorrow, that would be fine.
Oh, I'm just confused. I guess I'm confused. If we approve this budget without that money in it...
We can amend it tomorrow.
Okay.
In that case, let me be more formal. Friendly amendment to have $1,000 contingency that this group okays now, depending on if you like our presentation tomorrow. We can exit tomorrow, too. Exit, not exit.
I was just saying, I'd like people to have full information about the project before they're even voting contingently on. You know, we can certainly amend it tomorrow. Okay. Any other clarifying questions?
Okay, so my clarifying question is: at what point do I ask for a friendly amendment, or have I already done that? Okay, so when do I know whether or not you've accepted that?
My interpretation of your proposal was that if we're crystal clear we're going to get these dollars in, that those dollars then should be, from the GPUS, that those dollars should be designated to, for the GPUS delegation. And that, is that, that's not clear. Okay, when the money, okay, good. Okay, so when the money is actually in hand, it would be designated. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Any other questions?
Oh. Okay, now if anyone has concerns or affirmations, they can form a queue or friendly member.
I'd like to affirm the line item for the contribution under information technology, the contribution to OpenSTD of $50. I think it's wonderful that's in there. And if possible, I don't even know if this needs to be a friendly amendment to the budget. But along the lines of the green focus and platform summary budget being cut and wanting to make sure those materials are available, is there some way that we could do purchase in advance so we can know that we'll get the materials we need? We pay for it before it goes to print, so we don't have to worry about trying to collect. I think that would resolve my concern on that line item being cut. And there's one other line item that I'm concerned about the cut. And that is under media, the press secretary compensation expenses. If there's going to be contingency increased funding, this being an election year, it would be nice if we would not be so limited in that area. For the same purpose?
Yes. The dollars that we were trying to allocate according to the committees that actually were working there. So,
I'm sorry, I don't see where press releases are a function of finance, but if that's where the money went. The line I'm looking at, I'm understanding press secretary compensation expenses to be not for fundraising, but for press releases that go out in support of the party, or positions, and candidates that are running.
The answer to that question is that Kress was actually spending half his time doing fundraising, and so we thought we would memorialize that in the way that it really is happening. And is somebody here from the platform? I understood that there were platform summaries, that they were thinking maybe they would reprint them with changes, but we thought that was not a top-tier item. Yeah, because we thought we should use up the ones we have first. Is basically why we cut that, as I recall. Isn't it?
Go
Shane Cuhi, the platform COCO from Los Angeles County. Because we have so many remaining full platforms and platform summaries, we decided to go the supplement route. And so that's the reason for the not printing out any full new full platforms or new full platform summaries. However, we have to kind of finalize all of that after this plenary. And part of last year's budget and this year's budget is going to be spent in producing all of that.
Just as I had made Shane a promise, and I guess for other folks that where we really have made some critical cuts here, that as we do bring money in, that we really will try to prioritize restoring those funds that were cut, that were asked from these committees. So really be trying to move this back in. So obviously we're going into election season. It's very helpful to have our materials for tabling, to have things that candidates can actually be using. So
I want to thank Barry for that personal commitment and shows his greenness. And the other comment I want to make is that I'd appreciate somewhere in the clearinghouse budget if platform sales were an actual item, because it's never ever been a kind of full accounting for in that regard.
Warner Bloomberg, Santa Clara County. I'm a member of the GPUS delegation. I'm completing my third year in that role, and I have participated in as an observer of the budget committee teleconferences for the last 4 years, including this year. I have four concerns and requests for what may or may not be friendly amendments. First is, and this is something that this is the third year in a row now I have to repeat these comments. Something listed as an additional proposal as part of the fiscal year budget adoption, which I would say simply should be incorporated as part of the budget, as a note or as a statement, whatever. It should read, in the event that the following year, fiscal year 2012 budget is not passed on time, which has happened often enough in this organization, the General Assembly agrees to automatically extend the allocations in this budget, and then the language should be until a new budget is adopted, period. Because this prorate and monthly nonsense, I don't remember where it came from, but it makes no sense in the context. If there's an approved budget line item from the extended fiscal year expenditures, it's been approved, and that should be the end of it. So that's my first request for a change. My second request for a change is in the GPUS delegation. It's been at least 4 years now since our delegation size has moved from 13 to 42. It is just totally erroneous in that parentheses to be listing the 13 number. This goes to the issue of the other two items that I have concerns about. I disagree with Sanda. I think that it's reasonable to expect, which is what a budget projection is about, that we in fact will receive the $2,500 that is owed from state sharing. In other words, the National Party did our fundraising for us, and we're getting a cut, or we're supposed to. So my proposal would be that $2,500 gets added to the income, and that the subsidy for travel and lodging to the annual national meeting be increased from $1,000 to $3,500. which is basically a projected trade-off of the additional income for the additional expense. Now, why I don't believe it should be contingent on arrival of payment is because the annual national meeting is the end of June. If you look in the bylaws, our national delegates, some of which you've just elected, are expected to attend that national meeting in person as part of the responsibilities that they agreed to being elected to office and part of this body's charge for them to go. And it is unfair for people who can't afford to go not to be able to get financial support from this organization to allow them to perform the responsibilities for which they've been elected. So, I priced airfare. It's at best $500 round trip from California to Detroit. And people need to make their reservations by the beginning of May. They need to make their registrations by the beginning of May. So I do not agree that making this, we'll only get this money added to the budget if and when it gets here. That's not the way I consider proper budget philosophy. You either put the money in or you don't. So those are the changes I would request.
Well, right. But I think what Warner is saying is that if we're making a reasonable assumption that the money will be there, part of the problem is that people do need to make reservations for plane flights. They cannot do so at the beginning of June and still get a $500 fare. And so at some point, if we're able to actually be assured that the National Party will, in fact, write a check to us and get it to us this month, that issue can be taken care of immediately. Right, okay. That's, yes. So we need to, though, have... Well, it's in order for it to be made available to be, according to your motion, as it were, that if we don't get it till July, well, then it's not available for people for transit for in June. I guess we have to, if we're as a body, we're saying that we might believe that they're actually going to send us this money. I'm inclined to believe they will. I would fully support what Warner has to say here, and so that really is a fundamental decision, because it's if we've got even at $3,500, and we're subsidized, that's seven people out of a delegation. We're thinking of 20. Maybe we'll have fewer than seven that actually do need that assistance. I hope so. Go ahead.
Gloria Purcell, San Mateo County. I would like to agree with what Warner said also. A lot of this is a matter of timing, and even if we do not get the money from, say we get the money from GPUS in December, it would be nice if we got it, but I think that we should be funding our delegates to go whether we get the money or not. We will come up with the money somewhere else if we don't get it from there. You know, we'll get the fundraising. I just stood up initially to thank you for your work and to affirm the budget and the budget process and appreciate your work, and especially to appreciate your commitment to refinance everything as more money comes in. Thank you.
Just a quick aside here. For all of you who are saying that we need more money, we need you not just to be writing checks. We need you to help fundraise in your communities. And I really do want to work with all of you to be doing that. And it doesn't happen unless everybody takes a part in doing fundraising.
Okay, so I have to admit that my position on the steering committee and other places in GPUS tends to be the great compromiser and stuff like that. So I offer that as a compromise, though I really agree with Warner. Plus, I believe a budget is a planning document. You're planning on how much money you're going to raise this year. So because you're planning on how much money you're raising this year, you're also planning that this year, not by June, but sometime this year, you will have the money from GPUS. So I think it's an appropriate addition to put the budget line item back in, that you're going to have an additional $2,500 from GPUS and then increase that the budget by $2,500 as originally requested.
Randy Hicks in Sacramento County. One concern about this is I saw that the campaign's working group for campaign support is not getting any money. And that really stuns me just a little bit for candidate training sessions and all these things that we really need, because in strategy meetings, because the fact is we are going to go up against a lot of people who have a lot more money than we are. If we had just a little bit of money, and I see you guys completely eliminated this portion of the budget, we really like to see that any time of revenue come in, we like to raise that.
Which line item are you pointing at?
The one that says zero.
There's a lot of zeros on this page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's new.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, do you have
something? Okay. Good. All right. Any other concerns here?
Even though theoretically on this item we have we're out of time, we're way ahead of time on the schedule. So if we need more time for the item, we can have more time. Yeah, we're fine. So are there any more concerns any more affirmation? Yeah, affirmations or concerns. Okay, so then do you have friendly amendments that you want to adopt?
Well, the amendments were yours, but you're actually saying you'd like to modify it.
They're going to take some time. If you even want to...
Let me just say, I would, we can have concerns, more concerns and affirmations regarding this particular budget item. I serve on a couple of nonprofit boards. I chair a nonprofit housing corporation. We establish a budget at the beginning of a year, and we make an estimate as to the amount of money that we are going to be receiving. As you look at the income portion of our budget here, that's an estimate. It's a total estimate. It is not guaranteed that we're going to be getting any money. You make a reasonable guess as part of an organization as to what it is you may receive during the year. You don't make a budget for the coming year based upon the dollars that you actually have in hand. And as you go along during the year, if those amounts do not equal, well, then you do have to make an adjustment to your budget. I think it's a reasonable guess that sometime during this year we will actually get this money from the GPUS, particularly in light of the fact that Santa tells me that we just received, that GPUS received a $20,000 check, which they did not have in their budget. So I would propose that we do, and that's actually the friendly amendment to this budget. If everybody feels that, we could separate it actually, and if you folks really believe that money, it's not a reasonable expectation that we should add this to the budget, well, fine. We can vote on that particular issue and then come back to the whole budget as a whole. I would strongly, though, support if we're going to say basically There's two things we'd be voting on this amendment. If you don't agree to the amendment, then that means that there will be, in effect, no money available for the delegates to go to the national meeting. Because if we receive the money from GPUS in July or August or whatever, it's clearly not available to our delegates. I'm saying we need to make a decision today as to whether we expect those dollars to come in so that we can make a commitment to any delegate. And there may be none, there may be one or two, there may be seven who need help to go. So that is the decision that would be asked before we can actually pass the entire budget. If you have a question, you should come up here just so it can be recorded. And we do. Who has the point of process, Warner? Okay.
Warner Bloomberg, Santa Clara County. Just as a point of process, our practice in the past has been to separate out items which have unresolved concerns, to pass whatever's the large part of the budget is not controversial by consensus, and then to follow that, if necessary, by a vote on remaining items.
That would be excellent. Could we agree to do that? And can we perhaps agree, before we take additional concerns here, to just take a vote on the budget as presented, and then go to the amendment that has been proposed? Would that be agreeable to everyone?
Okay, what Warner says, we're testing for consensus on the entire budget first, and if we have consensus on the entire budget, then we go to the amendment. And if you have concerns or questions, please come up, or more than one amendment. There's some other. So are they just accepted? I guess you guys say whether those other things are accepted as friendly amendments, and then they're part of the current budget.
Why don't we just test for consensus on the entire budget? If there are stand-aside concerns for individual items, we can have those people up here and tell us what those stand-aside concerns are and handle each one of those as friendly amendments afterward. Warner's got a point of process? Yes. Yes, thank you, Warner. Okay. Yes, they need a few minutes to decide this, so if we can give them a couple seconds to work out some friendly amendments. We've got about 30 minutes left on the item, so. Okay, so it's pointed out we have 3 minutes left on the item, but we're actually on time in terms of our time budgeting here, because we don't really go to lunch until 11:45. So, yeah, we've got about 30 minutes left. Yeah, so if we can, we'll be on schedule if we add 30 minutes here to the item. In that sense, are there any concerns with that? Okay, I'm not seeing anything.
Okay, now it's on. Okay, we are accepting. Hello? Okay, we're accepting as friendly amendments, adding a line item for platform sales, changing the wording of the
you know, in the event that the following year is late, that we just carry on the allocations until a new budget is adopted, I'm fine with that. Pre-funding of Green Focus, we accept that, that if somebody wants to kick in money for Green Focus, we're happy to print them up. And the only outstanding one, then, is the GPUS delegation travel allowances.
All right.
Clarifying question, because you just outlined what we're going to be testing for consensus on, and I'm not clear what the line item for U.S. delegate travel was. $1,000. Is it now $1,000 or is it now $3,500? That's my clarifying question.
It remains as is printed in the budget for this particular vote. That we're then going to take another vote. Regarding, just drop it. I believe those two should be separated, because I'm very supportive of adding the additional money that I believe we will get from GPUS. But I believe that there is some dissension on that item in this.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious. I guess it's a question to Warner. I just find it a very strange procedure to do the whole thing before you do the amendment, because maybe I wouldn't want to consent to the budget with it only be at 1,000. I totally don't believe in Robert's Rules of Order, but it makes sense to me that we do the amendment before we do the whole item.
So I guess what I'm hearing, and getting my clarifying questions straightened out, what I'm hearing from you, Barry, is that the amendment or not amendment is that it'll be we're testing for consensus on $1,000 here, with then you're going to bring back another proposal after we consent on this about to revisit that we're going to agendize time to revisit that?
I guess I'm interested in getting the budget passed, and if we need to separate out entirely the GPUS budget on dollars that we may or may not receive from the GPUS and the expenditure that we may or may not make for the GPUS, I'm proposing that we actually make a decision about the rest of the budget rather than to spend a bunch more time trying to argue about that. Let's at least pass the rest of the budget. Would that be good?
So again, I'm clarifying. But you're saying you're agendizing time after that to address the GPUS. So that's the understanding. And will this current first status quo be $1,000? Because it does matter to people what the status quo will be that we're going to be readdressing.
It'll be totally separate. So any vote that's on this budget, the GPUS line item is separate. Okay?
Great. Okay. So we'd like to test for a consensus on the entire budget, excepting the GPUS line item that was mentioned earlier. Are there any outstanding concerns on the budget? Warner's got a point of process.
Thank you.
that, Warner, I agree. That's what I, that's the way I intended it. I understood your earlier suggestion. Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and we'll consider the entire thing, and we'll ask for we'll ask for any unresolved concerns. And Warner did have a concern on the GPUS line item budget. And so there is a stand, there is, I'm sorry, it's not a, it is an outstanding concern, and you're not willing to stand aside. Okay. So in that we only have one concern that's outstanding here, it would seem to make sense procedurally to just see if we can address that. So I'm sorry, you do have an outstanding concern. Yeah, oh, I was asking, I'm sorry. So, yes, we have another outstanding concern. Okay, and that is?
My concern is that we don't have $3,500 budgeted in the travel budget for the delegation, and I don't care about what the in-kind side is. Of that is, it's not related to whether we get the money from GPS, it's just not having that budget line item.
Yeah, can we just do a straw poll of how many people want to change the line to $3,500? Could you just raise your hand? Delegate, I'm just doing a quick straw poll to see if, okay, anybody who wants to leave it at 1,000 other than myself. Okay, there's only a couple of us. Oh, no, there's more. Okay. Plus me, yeah. It's a straw poll. I just want to see. Well, it's not, I'm not the only one. What do you want to do? Yeah, Gloria. Point of process? I'm sorry, I'm really confused. So this is a question of process. I thought that we were going to vote on the entire budget but pull out the whole GPUS. Oh, okay, I missed that. Oh, okay, so based on the straw poll, I guess I'm getting the sense of this body that we want to go ahead and accept the $3,500 line item, and so we'll accept the friendly amendment.
That's this, which I know we won't have with it included in the $3,500 included, and also adding the line item that we expect to get $2,500 of income from GPUS. GPUS actually owes $5,000, so I think expecting $2,500 is certainly a reasonable expectation, but I guess I'm, yeah. But we're in a whole lot better shape this year than we were last year, okay, because we've made a lot of big changes to GPUS. So so we're testing for, are there outstanding concerns with a revised budget with a line item of $3,500 for travel expenses and $2,500 for income? Okay, then you
all right, let's hear the concerns and tell us if we'll, okay. This is all, is there any concern other than that GPUS line item?
Yes, Michael Bornstein, El Dorado County. I have an outstanding concern about not devoting much more of our budget to tabling as we described before. But I will stand aside as long as my concern per bylaws is noted in the notes that we're not concentrating more on registration for more greens in the state and I'll stand aside because I've been told we'll cover it later tomorrow.
Any other concerns that have not been expressed so far? Great. So, I'm gathering we need to go to a vote.
There are still outstanding concerns, correct? No, oh, there are no more outstanding concerns? Okay, then we have consensus.
No.
Oh. Yeah. So there's are there any outstanding concerns that the budget changed as they stated, as amended?
Thank you. We have a budget. Thank now,
you.
At this point, we are actually somewhat ahead of schedule. On if you take a look at your agenda, we're scheduled to go to lunch at 11:45. It's now almost 11:30. We've got about 15 minutes. Does it make? I don't know. When we come back from lunch, we have the June ballot measures to address. It's 30 minutes. Is there any support for the idea that we start that item early before lunch? I don't even know if the presenters are. Okay, so lunch is not ready. Are the presenters available for that to start? Warner Bloomberg is available to begin that. So, I'm sorry, I have a hand up in the back there. There is a question about short time for announcements prior to lunch. Could we maybe spend, go until 11:40, and then at 11:40 we'll go to announcements for lunch for 5 minutes?
Does the host committee expect that lunch will be at 11:45? Does the host committee have an estimated time of arrival for lunch? They're not here. They're not in the room anymore. Okay, we'll find out. But 5 minutes before they say they think they'll have lunch, we'll break for announcements. More. So they want lunch at 12 instead. So we have a half an hour now. So at 5 minutes to 12, we'll break for announcements. No? Oh, 15 minutes from now. Okay, on schedule then. Okay. So at 11:40, we'll stop this process and go to announcements.
Okay, so I think we could probably do 2 out of the 5 before lunch break if people can pay attention. The county polling process has been used for at least 6 years, and about 2 years ago the process was formalized as an addendum to the bylaws, which you can read in there. Basically, information is collected through the campaigns and candidates working group on ballot measures. Reports are circulated to the county councils through the county contacts list and publicized after through that and on other email lists. And then there's a period of time during which the county GPs are supposed to report back their votes. And this is an alternate process to what we're doing now, which is making decisions about what ballot measures we support or oppose during plenary time. So this is during the last 4 county polling processes, including this one, 3 of them have not met quorum, which is 50% of the affiliated county parties, and coming up with at least an 80% decision position on any given ballot measure. We had only 10 counties report this time around for a process that started the middle of January and ran through last Wednesday. And I would appreciate hearing from people who are here to talk to me about why their county did not report. Talk to me later. I won't take up time now. But of the counties who did report, we came up with 44 votes total based on their delegate allocations at this plenary. There are 2 items which received 100% votes on this position, and those are propositions 16 and 17 each received 100% no votes. Proposition 16, I hope I don't get these out of order. I'm sorry, I heard. Okay, 16 is PG&E's ballot measure to make it harder for cities and councils to create their own local electrical commissions, i.e. from green power generation, and this is mostly a response to a movement in the city and county of San Francisco to actually do that. 17 is the Mercury Insurance Company ballot measure to try to amend Proposition 102 to allow them to charge higher insurance rates for individuals who, for one reason or another, have had a lapse of their automobile insurance coverage, whether in the state or out of state. So what I'd like to do is essentially treat these two as consent calendar items and ask for consensus one at a time for no position by Green Party of California on these two ballot measures. No, meaning we oppose. I understand the confusion of my language. Let me clear that the Green Party of California opposes Proposition 16 and that the Green Party of California opposes Proposition 17. Well, give the microphone back.
All right. So are there outstanding, are there any clarifying questions about Warner's proposal to take a position of being an against position on these two propositions? Are there any outstanding concerns? Seeing none, we have consensus. Okay. Okay, so... okay, so let's have our announcements, and then we can just hang out with each other.
Okay, and this announcement is about Prop 16, folks. There was a conference early in February, two-day conference on energy in Oakland early February, and out of that conference, a Bay Area countywide working group emerged to sort of serve as a focal point for defeating the proposition. It's going to sort of leverage into a statewide campaign. I'm co-chairing that working group. And so we've got representation from, it was a local Clean Energy Alliance that organized the conference. Bay Localize, TURN, and about half a dozen other organizations are involved. If you want to get involved in the statewide effort to defeat Prop 16, and it is a statewide thing, it's to defeat good legislation that was passed in 2002 to allow local municipalities to establish their own clean power generation utilities so they can put on-the-ground solar, wind, whatever works in their communities. It's one of the real important aspects of it, that you actually have on-the-ground built renewable power and energy efficiency that the municipalities can embrace. So and PG&E wants to defeat this thing, and it would defeat it on a statewide level. It's not just about San Francisco and Marin County that are actually moving forward on the community choice aggregation. If you want to get on board, there is a Google group that currently has over about 60 people on it. Send me an email, woody@cagreens.org. It's Woody, W-O-O-D-Y, @cagreens.org. I'll get you on that Google group, and that will get you all you need to know. And then sort of the entity that initiated, yeah, we got a lot of people. That should be enough. Thanks.
Okay. My name is Tian Harder from Santa Clara County. I'm the one that made these badges. And thank you. But the reason I came up here is because I don't want the badges back, but at the end of the plenary, I do want the badge holders back. I've been using them for various meetings for many years. If you came to the 2002 plenary, you might recognize them. And the reason that we can do them again is because people have been giving me my badge holders back. So please, before you leave, turn in your badge holder so we can reuse them at another plenary. Thank you.
I wanted to talk about Prop 16 that Marin County, we feel that is very much focused at us. And so that's basically it. That we're very much, I have my concerns about our authority because we're going to be getting our money from a big oil company, but we don't want PG&E telling us how we should conduct our business on local level. Right now we have a small paper called the Coastal Post. It's been pretty much almost driven out of business by anti-Palestinian rights groups. And I understand that the Daily Planet in Berkeley is now only online, and the Coastal Post is having a hard time finding funds to publish papers, and they may end up being just online too. I'd sort of like to sort of connect these, and if there's any other papers that have been sort of attacked by the anti-Palestinian forces, to sort of, at the very least, the Daily Planet and the Coastal Post join those issues together, and with any other papers that have been attacked, or for any other conservative issues, because these small presses are very vulnerable to this, especially for advertising. The anti-Palestinian groups have really destroyed the advertising for the Coastal Post, and without that, they can't really publish.
I just wanted to make sure everyone's aware of the movement to amend the Constitution. If you go to the website, it's movetoamend.org. GPUS has endorsed the movement, and what it will do, what the purpose of the organization is to, from the grassroots up, push into the Constitution an amendment that strips corporations of any personhood rights, any constitutional protections, completely, and it makes them subject only to the privileges that they are granted through their charters. So it's critical. You know, we need to address corporate invasion, and we need to address money. So this is one part of that two-legged monster that we're dealing with in this country. So go to the website and sign on as an endorser and learn about it and find out what's going on in your community and how you can participate. The people that are organizing it are largely Greens, and they are planning a lot of really fun, creative, wonderful ways of promoting the campaign and making people aware of it. And it's very, a lot of young people are involved, so it's a good way to get more young people involved with the Green Party and for them to know what Greens are up to and want to be a part of our party.
Okay, and on a part of that, move to amend.org. We're also part of single-payer universal health care, and we know that Don Beckler has an organization and Healthcare for All has an organization, but all the organizations who want single-payer health care should write the president of this United States and tell them to not be a wuss and get the Democrats in line, and so we can have some kind of health care reform. We know it isn't not what we want. The other thing is to support the Wiener Amendment, which would give California the right to have single-payer health care. And on that note, anybody can get a hold of all your organizations and send a letter to Mr. Leno. He says he's kind of short on letters. According to what Sarah Rogers said, and she's the chief consultant on this, she says we're 60 letters less than we had last time to pass single-payer health care. And now we're also going to try to work on another thing to make sure that we're working on an initiative. I think that it may have to come up to that time. But the strategy group, which you guys have in there about the in the propositions that you guys are supporting, the resolutions that you're supporting, that you're going to join the strategy group, I support that. Now it would come up later. But I really want you guys to call your legislators, call your congresspeople, and tell the Democrats to grow a spine and support single-payer health care.
Hi, Kendra Gonzalez, Ventura County. Talking about money in politics, Proposition 15, which we will be voting on here shortly, I just want to share that I am a strong supporter. I'm on the Ventura County Steering Committee to get this passed. I've brought material that's in the back that goes into it in more detail if you want to review that maybe during lunch. And there's even a petition that's just an informal petition going to Schwarzenegger. So if we want to take money out of politics and to lower corporate power, the California Fair Elections Act is one way to do it, one of many. Thank you.
My name is Laura Wells, and I'm from Alameda County, and I'm one of two candidates in the room for governor. Deacon, raise your hand. Okay. So we're both candidates for the Green Party nomination for governor, and I wanted to say that there are solutions, and there are newsletters that are in the lunch room, and they're stacked in rough stacks of 100. I just grabbed what looked like 100. And they're available to the counties, to people, to hand out. One of the intentions of it is to have it be phrased in such a way that for the general public. And so please take bundles of 100, you know, that you take to meetings, take to, you know, tabling or whatever. They're stacked up in the lunchroom. On one side, on one side it's Prop 13, unlucky for California in 13 ways. I've found that even politically astute people do not understand what Prop 13 has done to this state. And the other side is a frequently asked questions about a state bank for California. If we had a state bank, we could invest in California.
Thank you. Shane Cuhi, Los Angeles County. And GPCA platform COCO, just a reminder to you all to fill out the form on page 19 and give your comments to me during the lunch period. Thank you.
John Mark Shandania, San Francisco County. I just wanted to let you guys know that the San Francisco Green Party has formed an alliance with a group called Sign for Equality, which is trying to repeal Prop 8 and put it back on the ballot this November. They have about 1 month remaining to gather hundreds of thousands of signatures, and so it's been really good organizing tool in our county, and I would suggest that if you can get out there in the next month, take some of these sheets. There's 4 signatures per sheet, and get signatures for them. I have some back at my seat, so see me. I also want to try to get everybody in the room to sign it. It's a little bit tricky because you have to sign on an individual page per county, but I think there's enough people here that it will be worthwhile. Okay, thank you.
Kendra, did you mention that there's a sign-up sheet over there for Prop 15? And there's literature regarding Prop 15. We'll be talking about it after lunch. There's literature over there if you have any questions about the public financing initiative. Once again, just regarding the single-payer universal health care, it's likely that single-payer universal health care will be on the ballot within the next 2 to 4 years. And what's going to be really difficult about that is being able to identify enough people around the state who will step forward and say, I will help to let my neighbors, my community, know that single payer is really a good thing. Because we're going to be up against tens and perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars that the insurance companies are going to put into any effort to defeat us. Now in Sacramento, yes, the Democrats are going to pass SB 810 again,
They've already passed it a couple of times before, and the governor has always vetoed it. I don't think, even if Jerry Brown is elected, that he's going to sign it. And so it will be on the ballot if we're going to do it. What's really important is that you do self-identify as someone who will be an organizer. Please sign one of these postcards. You can give it back to me. I'll hand deliver it to Don Beckler. We have currently between 13,000 and 14,000 people across the state in this single payer now database. We'd love to add you into it if you're not a part of it already. Thank you very much.
Hi, Peggy Cochin, Slo County. California Fish and Game is a big promoter of bear hunting last year and this year. And right now they're having their meetings on bear hunting. And a couple things that the California Fish and Game want to do is increase the limits from 1,700 bears who can legally be killed, and of course another 500 are poached anyway. They want to increase it either to unlimited number of bears or 2,500. They also want to allow the hunters to put GPS collars on the dogs that tree the bears, so then the hunters can, you know, find the dogs when they run off 2 miles that tree the bears. So we don't want them to put GPS collars on dogs in addition to what they can do. And another thing they want to do, San Luis Obispo County has never been open to black bear hunting before, and they're going to open up San Luis Obispo County to hunting for the bears, and also increase Loda County's bear hunting in one other county. So I have a petition that's going around, and I have another page, and I will be asking for your signatures from California State Citizens. So off to the game. Thank you.
If there are any candidates in the room, I know there's a couple at least that I recognize. When we break for lunch, could I meet you right outside here? We're going to try to put together a quick news conference. So just roll around to the right as you come out the door. Thanks.
Hi, Pamela Spivak, Alameda County. Just wanted to say moveyourmoney.org is a great way to get your money out of the big banks. And before, excuse me, .info, moveyourmoney.info, I stand corrected. So before we get our state banks, that's what I would do.
And I'm just in line here to close the stack. Thank you very much, everybody, for your announcements. I think I'm going to ask the host committee, is lunch served? Any minute now. Okay, so prepare yourselves for lunch. Again, Chris had asked for any candidates to meet him outside to formulate a press conference coming up. So anybody running for office, please do that.